Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to continue where we've been. We're going to look at just one verse in Hebrews today, verse 20. Of course, we're going to have to go back to Genesis a little bit, but Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20. Now, before we get to verse 20, let's just remind ourselves about faith again, what faith is, how important faith is to the Lord. And look at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you get on down to verse 6, you read this. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The only way that any of us can please God must be through faith. There is no other way. Okay, so let's go now to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verse 20. Now, we've looked at Abel, and we've looked at Moses. We haven't got to Moses yet, but we looked at Abel. We've looked at Abraham. And we're going to look a little bit today at Isaac here. The Bible says this. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, that's a pretty small verse, isn't it? By faith. And you know, in the Bible, there's not a whole lot said about Isaac. He's got very few chapters allotted to him. But here, he made this great chapter of faith because of what he did in that blessing. So let's go to the Lord together in prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Charles if he'll lead us in prayer.
Hey, Lord, we're thankful this morning for your scriptures, Lord. We thank you for leaving your word with us, Lord, for that we can study. God, we ask you this morning, Lord, that you'll bless Brother Bill as he expounds upon your word, Lord. God, help us that we can receive it into our hearts, and that it can help us to be better Christians and better workers for thee. Lord, if they be one here this morning that's backslid, one that's undone, one that's unsaved, God, we ask you that you might touch their heart today, Lord, and cause them to come to thee before it's everlasting to thy. These favors we ask in Jesus'
name. Amen. I believe at the time of your death, when you're on your deathbed, what kind of faith that you have will be seen. I believe that when you're about to die, your faith will be made manifest in your last hours. How you truly believed. When people that don't know the Lord are ready to die, and they've come to the point in their life where they're about to cross over, they're about to step into death, lost people oftentimes are very afraid. They're scared. They're terrified. Lost people many times are in a sense of panic and dread because there's uncertainty and they don't know what's coming. But oftentimes when believers die, their death is much different. Their death is very peaceful and very calm, almost with anticipation, because the believer has his faith in another world. The believer has his faith that God has a home prepared for them. And because of that faith, they enter death much more peaceably. John Wesley, a great minister years ago, had a physician in the community. And the physician said this to John Wesley. He said, you know, most people die for fear of dying. But I never met with such a people as yours, talking about the church people. None of them are afraid of death, but are calm and patient and resigned to the last. He's talking about the fact that they died trusting God. They died as they lived, trusting in the Lord. John Wesley said, our people die well because they trust in God and they have a good death. And because isn't death just going to the next world? Isn't that the stepping over? And so God's people, they die well. Now, in our text today, we're going to see the same thing. You're going to see Isaac on his deathbed. And on his deathbed, he is now going to reach back into faith and give a blessing to his sons. Now, I want to begin by talking about the origin of Isaac's faith. Where did Isaac's faith come from? Where did it start? And let's look together in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 16. Genesis 18 and verse 16. Now, in this story, you're going to notice here that the Lord is meeting with Abraham. And He's about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice, he's going to tell him here something here in Genesis 18, 16. The men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. You know, here's what the Lord said about Abraham. He said, Abraham, I know he's the kind of man. He will raise his family the right way. Abraham came out of a pagan family, but he was going to raise his kids the right way. He was going to teach them about the Lord. He was going to bring them to church. And as they grew up, they would grow up knowing the Lord. And the Lord said that about Abraham. Now, of course, Abraham's son is Isaac. So Isaac grew up in a house where he served the Lord. He had faith. You know, when Abraham, we talked last week about how Abraham took his son to offer him as a burnt offering. You know, when you read that text, you look at Genesis 22, and you look at verse 6 and 7, the only thing Isaac ever says is this. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both of them went together. That's the only thing you see Isaac ever say. And when it came time to be offered, you'll never read in the scriptures where Isaac fought Abraham or he argued with his dad. But Isaac submitted himself to his father's authority. And I believe Isaac also believed in faith. He trusted God. You never see him fighting in this whole story. And so Isaac goes on, of course, and he's going to get married. And when you go to Genesis chapter 25 and look at verse 20 with me, you'll notice this about Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. And if you go on down and look at verse 21, Isaac entreated of the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Notice Rebekah had no children. So what did Isaac do? What was his first response? He sought God. He went to God in prayer. There's a man of faith. He knew that if anything was going to help my wife, it's going to be the Lord. So he went to the Lord in faith. There we see his faith being seen. Now, Rebekah conceives, and notice what happens to her. You look, notice here in verse 22, the children struggle together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Now, I remember when my wife was pregnant, and you ladies would know, you know, when those kids move around, can it be uncomfortable? Do they ever hurt any? Do they ever get, this lady, she's got two kids in there, and they're not just moving, they're fighting each other, okay? How would you like to have two babies fighting each other in your womb? That's what they're having a battle in there. And she asked the Lord, why are these kids fighting inside of me? And notice, verse 23, the Lord is going to respond to her. The Lord will speak to her and said, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So, and when her days were delivered, were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Now, how old was Isaac when he got married? You remember? He's 40. How old is he now that he's a dad? He's 60. So for 20 years, you know, it was him and his wife, and now they have their kids. And you notice these kids are so different. One came out all red, like a hairy garment. I can't imagine what that looked like. Probably wasn't the one you'd want to take to the Kmart baby picture thing and set him up there. But he was an ugly kid. We'll be honest, some babies are ugly. I know our babies are not ugly. I know that. other people's babies are ugly, but I understand that. But you'll notice here that these kids are very different. So you get to verse 27, notice this. The boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Okay, so you got these two boys, and they are as different can be. One boy, he wants to go outside and hunt. He wants to go out there and kill the deer and cook it. He's a man of the field. Basically, what he is, he's a man's man is what he is. He wants to do what men do. But what's Jacob want to do? Jacob's more of a mama's boy. He's got the apron on in the tent cooking dinner, okay? That's kind of how Jacob is. He's different than his brother, okay? Now, here's where you have a problem is now, there's going to be favoritism is come in here. And verse 28 says, Isaac loved Esau because he didn't eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. So now you have a problem here. You have parental favoritism. And that always is going to cause problems. Okay? So here these boys, they come to this family. These boys are being raised up. And I believe Isaac is a man of faith. And I believe as Abraham taught him, he is raising his boys up serving the Lord. They know who the Lord is. They're going to church. They're faithful. They're worshiping God. I believe that about this family. But now you're going to see something, and this is a sermon all to itself. But the implications of what I'm about to say are very frightening, very scary. And maybe time in the future we'll come back to this. But I want you to look at what Esau did. Esau did something very bad here. Notice what he did. Verse 29, Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore his name is called Edom. Jacob said, sell me to this day thy birthright. Okay, here's what a birthright is. A birthright was what was given to the oldest child. And what it meant was this. The oldest child received a double portion of the inheritance. So, in this case, you have two boys. The inheritance was divided up into three parts. Esau got two parts. Jacob would have gotten one. And what Jacob is doing now is he is wanting Esau to sell his birthright so that Jacob will get the two parts and Esau will just get the one part. And notice here, verse 32, Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sweared to him this, and he sold his birthright unto him. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. And notice what the Bible says here. Thus Esau despised his birthright. This decision that Esau made is going to mark him forever. It's going to mark him for eternity. What Esau's done is he's taken what was supposed to be precious to him, his birthright, and he's traded it for something that was temporary, earthly. Do you think Esau ever got hungry again? Absolutely. So this was just a temporary satisfaction. And what you have here is a picture of a man that was given a birthright, something that was his, and he traded it for something that was of this world, fleshly. Let me show you how serious of a sin this was. Go now to Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 16. Look what Hebrews 12:16 says about this. Listen to what God's Word says, what God thinks about this. Here's a warning given to all of us today. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited a blessing, he was rejected, and he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You know, when you see words like inheritance and blessing, that's talking about heaven. You know, when you see inheritance in the Bible, that's always a picture of your eternal inheritance. You know, what you get later at the end of this life. You know, Esau traded up his earthly birthright for food. And it shows us how serious this is. And notice later, he's rejected of God. He's going to seek repentance later. He's not going to find it. He's going to cry. And he's going to be rejected because of what he's done. He did a terrible thing here. And, you know, the Bible is warning us here. You know, there's a lot of kids have been given a birthright. A lot of folks growing up in a Christian home, They grew up hearing the Scripture. They were raised right. They know the right way to go. And when they get old enough to go out on their own, what do? They reject all that and dive into a world of sin. That's a dangerous, dangerous thing to do. And you should always look at what God said about Esau. When you reject your birthright and you trade it all in for some earthly pleasure. Jesus said in Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, much is required. And I tell you what, most of us in this room, we're going to be honest. And I'm talking about soberly, eternally honest right now. We've been given much of God. We've been given a lot. We don't have an excuse. God will require much of us. You know, we need to live for the Lord every day. Esau didn't, and he was rejected. So there you see the difference between Esau and Jacob. Now, join me in Genesis chapter 27, and let's look at what happened today. Verse 1 says, it came to pass that when Esau was old, his eyes were dim so that he could not see. He called Esau his eldest son and said to him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. He said, behold, now I am old and I know not the day of my death. So what we notice here is Isaac feels like he's about to die. The Bible says he can't see. His eyes don't work anymore. He's an old man. And by the way, if you go back a couple chapters there, you'll see Isaac is about 137, 140 years old. Ishmael, his brother, died at 137. So Isaac is about the same age that his brother was when he died. And Isaac can't see, he's old, and he feels like his time on earth is very short. In fact, if you look at verse 7, it says this, the end of the verse, that I may bless thee before the Lord before my death. Verse 10, he may bless thee before his death. Verse 41, it talks about the days of mourning for my father are at hand. So Isaac is pretty sure he's about to die. Now here's the funny thing about it. Isaac's going to live another 43 years. Have you ever missed something by 43 years? Isaac thinks he's about to die, but he's going to live another 43 years. So he just felt bad, but he wasn't about to die. Not yet. But anyways, here's what he does. Here's what he wants. He says, now therefore I pray thee, verse 3, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, go out into the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Okay, now here's what he wants to do. He wants his son to go out, kill a good deer, cook it up like he knows how to cook it, put all them spices in it, that savory, make it like it always is, and I'm going to make this my last meal because I'm about to die. So he's thinking, and I will give you your blessing. This is something the father gave to his son, to his oldest son. This is a very special blessing, and he wanted to give it to his son Isaac. And here's the problem. God has already told Rebekah that Jacob is the chosen one, not Esau. But what is Isaac trying to do? He's trying to go against God's will. He wants to bless his favorite. You see, he wants Isaac to get the blessing. Isaac wants to bless Esau, his favorite. Now, here's where the story gets really sad. You go on down now to verse 6. You're going to see the scheming that goes on in Rebekah's heart. Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son. Do you think Rebecca was in the room, or do you think she was standing behind the door? I think she was eavesdropping. I think she was not being a good wife. She was not minding her business. She's being a busybody here, is what she was doing. And she listened on. And notice she said, Rebecca heard when Isaac spake to Esau's son, and Esau went into the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Rebekah spake to Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak to Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison, and I will make thee savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that from which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch for me the two good kids of the goats. I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. and thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. Let me tell you, this is a very low point again in Rebecca's life. She's taken on the role of a rebellious, unsubmissive woman. She's not being a good wife right now. And what she's doing is she is trying to make sure that her favorite son gets the blessing. Now listen, Jacob was supposed to get the blessing. Do you know what Rebecca should have done? She should have called Jacob in and said, you know what? Your father wants to bless Isaac. Let you and I pray right now. And let God work a miracle. Let's pray and seek the Lord and let Him do something to stop this. But that's not what she did. She turned to the flesh and she's going to try to work things out in a sinful, wicked way. And what her way is she's going to lie and deceive her husband. That is her plan. And I want you to notice what a strong role model she is to Jacob. She tells Jacob what to do. Look how much influence she has on Jacob's life. She tells him what to do, and he just does it. You see? What great influence for bad a parent can have for their kids. Or for good. But boy, parents have tremendous, tremendous influence. So, you go on now and notice, we saw the deception, and notice the second problem. Now, Jacob said in verse 11 to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him to be a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Who's he afraid is going to figure out the plan? Who's he afraid is going to get caught? Who's going to catch him? He's worried his dad will catch him. Do you see any worry at all that God will see this? Is there any concern that God is watching all this? Not a bit. So we go on, and you'll notice what happens here. His mother said to him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau. That goodly means she took his finest clothes, his Sunday dress. She took out the best skins he had and put them on him, which were with her in the house. And she put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins and the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave them, and she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared in the hand of her son Jacob. And it came to pass, and he came to his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, who art thou my son? Now here is where you're going to see things really get sad. So Jacob now has got the false clothes on. He's got the skins on his hands and his neck, and he's got this food, and he walks in, and he yells out, and he says, my father! And his father says, who art thou, my son? And what does Jacob say in verse 19? I am Esau, thy firstborn. Here's your first lie. He deliberately looked his daddy in the eyes and lied to him. Straight out lied. Then he said this, I have done according as thou badest me. Second lie. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless thee. There's his third lie. It wasn't his venison, his mom cooked it. It was all a lie. Deceit after deceit after deceit. You know, it's amazing that there's no regret, there's no hesitation. How easy he can lie. Now I know in this world, people don't think lying's a big deal. But I want you to know before God, it is a grievous sin. It is a wicked, wicked sin before God. In fact, in John chapter 8, verse 44, listen to what Jesus said. John 8, 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You know, if you go to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 17, I want to encourage you. Turn to Isaiah 28, 17. I want to show you something. Isaiah 28, 17. judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. You know, there's a lot of people today that their refuge is lies. When things turn south and things get bad, they seek refuge in lying and deceiving and being dishonest. And I want you to know something, that you never more take on the image of Satan than you do than when you tell a lie. You know, lying is a terrible sin, and God forbid any of His people practice it. It will destroy your testimony forever when you lie. Now, we all do it from time to time. We got to be honest, we do it. And we're not as honest as we should be. We ought to pray and seek God to help us to always be a people that tell the truth. No matter what the consequences are to us, to tell the truth. So I'm going to tell you a little secret about lying. Jesus said that one day the truth will be made known to everybody. There is no lie that one day He will not set straight. There is no deception that you can hide now that one day will not be made plain for everyone to see. You can lie now. And you may think you're getting away with it now, but there's a day coming. God will turn that lie and He'll open it up and show everybody what the truth is. And I mean, He'll do that for every single lie. God is going to right the wrongs of this world. And there's nothing you can deceive or hide or get away with or try to hide it and pretend like it never happened, that God's not going to dig it up someday and show the world what your sin is. So I'm telling you, being truthful and being honest is the only way to go. And here, He is lying and lying and lying. And as I learned in Sunday school years ago, I remember my Sunday school teacher told me, he said, if you ever tell one lie, you'll have to tell 10 more to cover that one up. And that's exactly what old Jacob's doing here. He's having a lie after lie after lie. Now look, notice what happens now. Verse 20. Now Isaac said to his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. You know, there's more than one way to use God's name in vain. And this is another way to do it. He just is now using God's name in his lies. He's bringing God's name down to his... Have you ever heard someone say, I swear to God, that's the truth. But it's not the truth. Well, you've just used God's name in vain. You know, I heard those police officers, every time they hear people say, I swear to God, they say, you're lying. But every time they know they're lying when they do stuff like that. So now he's bringing God's name into it. Notice verse 20, what Isaac said to him, Jacob... Isaac said to Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Oh, the lies, and the lies. Verse 25, and he said, bring it near me, and I'll eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. So now this deception is just going so good. Everything's just working out, and it seems like the plan is working just perfectly. And now we're going to come to the part where Isaac is going to actually do something that's going to show how much faith he had. And listen to what Isaac says now. Verse 26. His father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field, which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. What Isaac is doing is he's repeating the words that God blessed Abraham, and that God blessed him with. And Isaac is re-giving these blessings to his son Jacob, thinking it's Esau. But what's so important here is that Isaac is putting all of his faith and confidence in God's word. God made a promise, and it hasn't happened yet. And it's still not going to happen for many years. But Isaac has so much confidence and faith that God said it, that it would happen, that he passed on this blessing to his son. And that's what got him in the hall of faith there in Genesis 11. He trusted God and he believed what God said. I mean, I could go back and show you the verses, but if you look back in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, you'll see where God blessed Abraham. You'll go on and see in Genesis 26 where God blessed Isaac, gave him that blessing. But the fact is this, is he believed God. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And let me tell you, church, this is what faith is for you and me. Is that when we read the Bible, we believe every word of it is true. And we accept it as the truth. And we don't doubt it. We don't struggle with it. We accept it. And if there's things we don't understand, we just take it as we don't understand it. But we believe that everything that God said will happen. Whether it makes sense, whether I can see it, God's word will come to pass. That is faith that pleases the Lord. Sometimes you go through things in life where it don't look like God is with you. It don't look like God is helping you. But if you're a Christian, you know the Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's what's so good about the Scriptures, is that you are not required to go by feelings. Your feelings will deceive you. I want you to know that. Your heart will lie to you. It will deceive you. And your heart will tell you something that's not always true. Didn't Jeremiah say that the heart is deceitfully wicked? Your heart will not always be true with you. But God's word is always true. So even though I may not feel like God is with me, I know the Bible says He is. You know, there's days you get up that you may not feel very saved. You may not feel like you're going to heaven. But if you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've repented and called on Him for salvation, you're going to heaven. You have eternal life. You put your faith in what God said. Never put your faith in how you feel. Churches have gone astray because they put their faith in how they feel. Feelings are not what you go by. We go by faith. And so now you see what's happened. That Jacob has got the blessing. He has stolen it from his brother deceitfully. Now, how do you think Esau's going to feel about this when he finds out? Is he going to be pretty, laugh about it? Hey, old brother got me again. No, he's not going to take it too good. Notice verse 32. Isaac his father said unto him, verse 31. And he also made savory meat, talking about Esau, and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that my soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said to him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten it all before thou camest and have blessed him, yea, he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with great and exceeding bitter cry, and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came, his brother came and took his blessing from him. Go on down. Notice what it says down here in verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. So now what you have here is you've got a son that wants to kill the other one. Now, Jacob and Rebekah, they lied and they deceived. But I want you to know that that's not the way to live. Their sin is going to cost them dearly. Jacob is going to have to leave home because of his brother Esau. Esau wants to kill him. He's going to leave and go off to another land. And I don't know that Rebekah ever saw her son again that she loved so much. I don't know that he ever came home and got to see her again. He's gone. Jacob's going to go out to another land and live with Laban, his uncle. He's going to be, his wages are going to be changed 10 times. He's going to be lied to and tricked by his uncle. He's going to marry the wrong sister. Have you ever married the wrong sister? That's a bad thing to do. Jacob married the wrong sister. There was two girls. One of them was beautiful, and one of them was tender-eyed, which meant you had to have tender eyes to look at her. She was rough-looking. And Jacob thought he was marrying the pretty one. She had a veil on, but the next day when he got up, it was the wrong sister. It was the ugly one. He went back to Laban and said, "I didn't want her. I wanted the other one." And Laban says, "We have to let the first one go first." Oh, did I forget to tell you that? Yeah. You see, Jacob worked 7 years to get this girl. He didn't love her. So he goes and grows another 7 years for the girl that he loves. And he married her. And then Jacob's going to have his children. And what's going to happen to one of his children? Joseph. Joseph's going to be taken away and sold into bondage, his favorite son. And his brother's going to come and tell Joseph that their brother died. And Joseph is going to mourn for that boy for years and years and years. And you know what? It was all a lie. He mourned and wasted his life over a lie. Oh, the devil loves to do that to us, don't he? His son was alive. It all comes back. So what do we get from today's text? Well, I'll tell you here we get. God will always do what he says he'll do. Always. And you can take that to the bank. Brother Bill won't always do what he says he'll do. And you won't always say you'll do what you say you'll do. God always does what he says he'll do. And you can trust on that. And secondly, the Bible shows us very clearly, when you lie, that's a terrible thing. We need to be a people that are honest with each other. Honest with our spouses. Honest with our kids. Honest with our families. Honest with our churches. You know, we need to be honest with each other. Do you have struggles? I think it's good that we tell each other our struggles and be honest. And there's too many people act like they have no struggles, that they're so perfect. You know, I'll tell you, your preacher has struggles, just like you have struggles. We all struggle. We all need God's grace. But I'll tell you one thing, God is good. Let's all stand together.